Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday and also to Memorial Day. I hope you're having a great weekend and enjoying us today as we're on KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. Now, many of you today, it says that it's the people traveling will be up as much as 60% this weekend compared to what it was in the travel of last year. And obviously last year we were shut down with the pandemic and all the things that were going on with COVID-19. It was without a doubt 2020 was probably the most interesting year of things that were happening across our nation and also too globally across the world itself. But today it's a new day. It's a day in which things are opening. I'm glad that we live in such a state where things are opening to the point of where masks are being taken off. We were seeing it not only in places of where we go in to do business, we're seeing it in the classrooms. And also too, just in places in public itself. And I'm thankful that we're getting back to normal and things are progressing in such a way that hopefully will eventually everything will be back to normal, not only in our state, but also states as we travel. But today I'm hoping that as we take time of memory, maybe today you are traveling down the highway, you've turned it on to your radio station on KBOE 104.49 FM on your radio today. Thanks for listening. As you're traveling, be safe. Also too, many of you might be at church and on your way. Again, thank you for listening. And many of you have shared with me that you listen to us, and you might even be sitting alongside a campfire today and turning this on. And I just want to say I'm blessed and I'm thankful. I just want to give a big shout out to my friend. She's just a wonderful lady that I met this past week, and her name is Miss Diane. And Miss Diane, if you're listening today, I just want to tell you personally, thank you. And I respect you and I appreciate your kindness. And you spoke some good words into my heart that day, and I just want to thank you so much for that. But with that being said, it is without a doubt, it's Memorial Day weekend, the beginning of summer vacations and summer holidays. Today, Americans across this great nation will take a three-day weekend to travel, head to the beach, go boating, camping, riding bikes, and some will decorate graves. It's a big weekend. It's a time with all the things that were going on. But not to be a downer today, but the real reason for the holiday is to remember the men and women who gave their lives for our very freedoms today. And those who have served in our military and who have also passed away. From the Revolutionary War to the Afghanistan War, present American freedom has been purchased without a doubt with an incredible high price. I think that's why it bothers me and a lot of other people, patriots, who in all honesty get disgusted with those who take a knee or during a patriotic song or even during our national anthem. A wrong place, a wrong time to show selfish, in my opinion, selfish objection of such a high cost for every American citizen in our nation. Today, before we go into our teaching series, It's a Time to Roar, I would like to commemorate this Memorial Day weekend with a speech by President Lincoln, who saw this great nation divided and was at war with itself and went to a battlefield. No rioting or looting in selfish ambition like we've seen in some cities across our nation, but a struggle within a nation in which racism was at its peak in the form of slavery, in which it divided states and even families. President Lincoln is headed to the Gettysburg battlefield, in which both the North and the South men fought on that battlefield that day. In this battle, this is pretty significant, there were over 7,058 fatalities. 33,264 were wounded. 10,790 were missing. President Lincoln goes to the site of the battlefield and he reads these words. Can you imagine? Just sit with me for a moment how that must have looked as he walks out and he sees men across the battlefield dead in battle. He doesn't have anybody write this speech. Matter of fact, in his mind, he thinks this speech is rather insignificant. But I want us to read today The significance of that speech, and I hope it helps us remember this Memorial Day weekend, of the importance of it. Yeah, it's, again, it is good to have a three-day weekend to get out and have family and friends and enjoy the weather, without a doubt. But folks, I hope we remember today the price in which we have this freedom. So with that being said, I would like to read that speech that he said so long ago. It says this: 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men were created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that battlefield as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, and we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it, for above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note, nor longer remember what we say here today, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to unfinished work, which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be dedicated to the great nation remaining before us, that from this honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Abraham Lincoln, November 19th, 1863. If you notice these powerful words, they were not divisive, but caring for loss on both sides. I pray today that as you sit by your campfires, drive your vehicles down the road, or spend time with family or friends, that we reflect on this Memorial Day, May 30th, 2021, that our freedom was and still is paid with the lives and the sacrifices of men and women who have served and are serving in our military. We salute you. We thank you for your service and for your sacrifice. Folks, I hope today that this Memorial Day weekend, we remember, we don't forget. I think sometimes it's better fitting, as it used to be called, Decoration Day, because that's what we do. And we remember. I remember in my own family, a grandfather who fought in World War II. He was a gunner on a tanker ship. I also, too, remember an uncle who fought in the Korean War. I also, too, remember another uncle who was on a submarine ship during Vietnam. There are so many of us that have family and loved ones who have went and fought and who even gave a great price of their own life or come back changed from what had happened during war. We thank you for your service again. And we honor you today, this Memorial Day. Which brings me to what I believe commemorates this Memorial Day weekend in our teaching. As we continue our teaching series, It's Time to Roar, falls on loving others more than loving yourself. You might be asking, Mike, where are you taking us today? I believe that if your voice is going to roar, it also has to love. This brings me to our first point this morning: love is action. And I want to show you that today. I want you, if you're with me today and you're home and you're by a campfire or you just can open up a Bible, I want you to open up your Bibles today, John chapter 15, starting with verse 9. And I want to show us something today that I believe goes hand in hand with Memorial Day, as people have served and given their life, that we'll also see what Jesus is speaking to his men, and also too about what he's about to do and the sacrifice that he makes. Starting with verse 9, these are red letter words from Jesus himself. This is what he says. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. Now here's the key verse that I want us to get this morning. Verse 13. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, and if you do what I command, I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Since I have told you everything the Father has told me, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. Isn't that so fitting as this Memorial Day weekend when you think about it for a second? See, Jesus is talking with his men. This is his last night that he will be with them during the Last Supper. We read that and because so much is going to happen. And if you find it interesting, because from this night on, from the next night, he will hang on a cross and be crucified. He's about to lay down his life not only for his men, in which he calls them friends, the 12 disciples, but also too for men and women down the generations to present generation, for all humanity. See, folks, there's no greater love than a friend lays down his life for another. And Jesus expressed that as we read this in the text. He wants us to see something, that living this life isn't about us, but it's about loving and giving to others. And I think what greater time, I can only imagine, as we just read what President Abraham Lincoln wrote. You will see the love in the words concerning the nation itself. There were no divisive words that were being spoken. I can only imagine how it must be for on a battlefield, how another man or another woman will go out and go after a friend and sacrifice or be willing to give their life to get that person out of harm's way. We've seen that so much in many, many movies. I can only, you know, one of the movies that really strikes me is one of them on Hacksaw Ridge, in which this man was a chaplain. He would not hold a weapon, but yet he would lay down his life for those who went out into the battle and to save them as they were shot or as things they were wounded on the battlefield. He was willing to give his life. Matter of fact, it even shows in the movie that he even helped the men on the other side. That is love. And I hope today that we can get a sense of that, or what it must have meant for what Jesus does as he goes and he's about to lay down his life for the 12 disciples, including Judas, who was about to betray him. And he makes a significant note that he no longer says as a master to his slaves, but as friends. He wants them to know, I now call you friends. We are now in intimate relationship with each other. We have now taken it to a deeper level. And I think it's so much as I think today is, it's getting past who we are and loving people of where they are. It's the truest sense in my thinking of what love must look like. And I think that's why it's so often as we see men and women go after each other, men and women in uniform. I think the men and women today that not only serve in the military, but also serve not only as deputy sheriffs and police officers and emergency workers and all those people that are frontline workers, they race in to go and help people in armed ways. Matter of fact, I've seen and witnessed people going in after someone they did not know, not only because it was greater than their job, but because it was an obligation of love to sacrifice themselves to get someone out of harm's way, laying down their life. And what I find interesting is what little time I have spent on the sheriff's posse and being around these men who are on the sheriff's, deputy sheriffs, they call each other brother. And the reason why I think that is because there's an intimacy that has happened because they got each other's back. And I hope today we get a glimpse of that. Men and women who have fought on the battlefield as we discussed this Memorial Day weekend. Friends. See, folks, when you get into a friendship with another person and you're willing to even give your life, you become tight-knitted. You're willing to lay down your life and sacrifice for someone else. This past week, I had an opportunity that I believe of a story that I want to share with you about sacrificing. It wasn't my life, but it was time. It was time in which I was placed into a position of a story that I want to share with you today. This past Thursday, it was raining. Remember, the rain came and it came and with the torrential downpours were happening. I remember I was on the west side of Oskaloosa. I went out to go look at something. And then I was on my way back and I saw that dark sky. I just talked to my men. They were up in Pella. They were loading up a trailer and they were getting ready to head back to Oskaloosa. And I was just checking with them how things are going. And they said, Mike, the rain is coming. It is pouring in Pella. It is coming your direction. And I remember as I was headed back toward my shop, all of a sudden the rain started coming down with a roar. And I remember as I was driving by, I get a glimpse of this woman who is walking along the sidewalk. And I can tell the rain was coming down hard, but what was interesting is I was watching her walk. She wasn't trying to get out of the rain. She was walking in the rain. And I heard the voice, the still small voice that was inside and said, Mike, stop. In the midst of the rainstorm, the voice said, stop. And I rolled down my window and I asked the woman, can I help you? Can I get you to a place out of the storm? She immediately jumps into my truck. She's already soaking wet and she's cold. First thing I do, I had one of my shirts, a long sleeve shirt that I had in the back of my pickup. And a lot of times I carry extra clothing just because of living in Iowa. You never know when the weather is going to change. Matter of fact, we've noticed that even this weekend as cooler weather has come and the evenings have turned back down into the upper 30s and low 40s. But that's Iowa. So I always try to make myself prepared in moments. So I give her a coat and I say, here, put this long sleeve shirt on, put it on to get yourself warm. I push my button. I'm in my pickup. I've got some things that are nice and seat warmers. And I turned it on and I said, ma'am, how can I help you? She was a young woman. How can I help you? And she says, sir, can you take me to a town? I asked her, where are you asking me to take you? And she told me the place of the location, and it was about an hour and a half drive. And I was working, and in the moment, in the midst of the snowstorm or the rainstorm, and I was caught off guard. I wasn't expecting that. And I said, where have you been? And she said, sir, I've spent the night on a bench at a place of where there were apartments, but I couldn't get in. So I slept all night, and she was not dressed by any means. She had open-toed flip-flop shoes on, a pair of jeans, and a shirt that I would say didn't cover a lot of her upper trunk of her body, and she was cold. And I said, how did you stay warm last night? She said, sir, I simply took my purse and put it next to my chest and put my arms within my shirt and tried to stay warm. And I said, you didn't sleep very well last night, did you? She said, no. I said, let me take you by my shop and I'll get you a sweatshirt. And I said, have you eaten today? Have you eaten anything in for a while? She said, no. So I took her down to our local cafe. And in that time I was there, I just didn't know what to do and where to go. And what do you do in a small town? I talked to at the local cafe, the lady at Julie's cafe. And I said, Julie, what Do you know of anything that I could do to help this woman to get her to a place of help? And she said, Mike, I can't think of anything. I don't know where you can take a woman in the condition that she's in. And she, again, she was just a very young woman. And so what we did is we got her breakfast. We got some food in her. We got her some water and we got her some coffee. And, you know, this is what's interesting, because I think when you go and you help a time in need like this and you want to show love to another person, the first thing that Jesus reminded me as he dealt with people, he always dealt with the first need first. And that was the physical need. And her physical need was two things. She needed to get warm. And number two, she needed to get fed. And when I did that, she went on and she told me her name. And I said, ma'am, I'm not sure what I can do for you. And she looks at me. She says, sir, can you take me to that town? And I said, okay. I said, is there anybody that you know that I'm taking to? Yeah, it's my dad. My dad works late at nights and he comes home and but usually my father, he's an alcoholic. But he probably won't answer the phone, but we can sure try. So I called the phone twice. And with no avail, I didn't get any answer or anything. And in that moment, when I was sitting at the restaurant, I heard the voice say, go. So I take this woman and I said, I will take you to the destination. It was approximately an hour and a half away. So in the moment we're traveling and she's starting to feel at ease with me. And again, folks, she is an absolute stranger and I'm an absolute stranger to her. And it was interesting because I knew I had to cover, I wanted to make sure that I covered my steps to make sure that there was no way that anything could be twisted or turned. I let Julie at the cafe know where I was going and where I was headed. I also, too, called one of the deputy sheriffs at our local sheriff's department. Hey, I want to let you know this is what I'm doing, where I'm headed. He gave me some instructions on make sure that I'm safe. And also, too, to the destination where I'm going, I don't know where I'm headed into. I know the town of where I'm going, but that's all I know. So I wanted to make sure that everything was good and up on the up and up and as we traveled. Now it was interesting, after I had given her some food, I shared with her, I said, ma'am, I said, I want to let you know something. The reason why I stopped today, I'm not an angel, first of all, but I said, I do want to let you know that the Lord spoke to me to help you today. And I want you to know today that the Lord sees you. He sees your need and he sees you. And she thanked me for that. And we started talking and the next thing I know, she started sharing her story. She started sharing the story in which, how she first started getting involved and the drug addiction that she was in. She said she was actually she was introduced by her own mother, smoking pot at a very young age. I was blown away as I heard this story. And then she went on further as at the age of 15, she gets messed up in school and does meth and just some horrific things. That's what a sad story and all the things that were going on in her life. And then she went on and she started sharing with me the story that about broke my heart. She said, sir, 2 years ago, I had a little baby. I was with my boyfriend and we got pregnant and we had a baby and we were both really, really mixed up in drugs. It was a bad situation. And then she said DHS got involved. She said they took my child and they put my child into another home and I had to give up all my rights for that little baby. And she said, sir, in the last 2 years, I've tried to commit suicide 3 times. I have no memory. I struggle remembering. I can't tell you how I got to the town close to where the town is in Oskaloosa. I can't tell you how I got there. I'm not even sure how I got to Oskaloosa. My memory loss is so bad. And I looked at her and it's hard not to have compassion. And I tried to share with her. I said, first of all, you really need to get to a doctor and find out what's going on. And then also, too, I told her about Teen Challenge of the Midlands, that women, where they take care of women. So it was an incredible story that I was listening to, and we got closer to the town of where we're coming. And I said, ma'am, I said, I would really like to take you to the door and make sure that you're safe, make sure that things are okay of what you're about to enter in. And she said, sir, no problem. We went to the front door, knocked. Nobody answered. We went to the back door. We were able to get in. It was a place where her father lived. And I could see the brokenness in the place of where I went in, and I saw the things of the pain that her father, for whatever reason, that he was going through. And I wrote down my name and my phone number, and I gave it to this young girl. I told her this. I said, ma'am, if you need anything, I want you to give me a call. I will help you to a place to where you can get help. And I left. And today I've still not heard anything back from her. I don't know where the story goes or where it ends, but what I do know this, folks, is this. No greater love. See, what helped my own heart was this, is because, I don't know about you, at times I get can allow my heart get seared in the midst of the craziness and the madness that goes on in this world. I was thankful that the still small voice I could still hear, and also to the obedience I felt good within myself, and honored that the Lord would allow me to go through such a moment as this. Folks, I encourage you today, if your voice is going to roar, if you're truly going to have a voice in this era of time, in our nation, in our culture, we've got to have a voice that not only roars, but also too, a voice that loves. And I encourage you today, I believe with all this within, we're allowed moments that God will use us in mighty ways beyond ourselves. And I realize in my life, and I know many of you will say the same thing, there's nothing good in Mike, only the good that is in my life is Jesus. And I want to stand on that today. And I hope that you, many of you that are listening, maybe the story that I shared with you is your story. And you're looking for a way. And I want to tell you that Jesus loves you and sees you in the moment of where you are. I ask you to pray with me today. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the moments that we share with other people we don't even know, and it creates moments in which our voices can roar for you and simply in love and caring for someone else we don't even know. Lord, I pray that maybe there's somebody out here listening to me wondering to know, does anybody love me? Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you go to them right now. Send somebody, let them hear your voice. Let them know that they are loved as well. And we thank you, Jesus, for the price that you did, no greater love to lay down one's life, and the life that you did for us. You laid your life down so that we might have fullness in you and that we can call you friend. Jesus, we love you. In your name I pray. Amen. I pray that today, that as you listen to this Memorial Day teaching, this story, that it might encourage your heart today to step out in faith and let your voice roar in such a way that it conceives love. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.